WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. In Los Angeles, not only is the death toll on the rise from those raging wildfires, first responders are warning that it could go even higher. Some 150,000 there are under evacuation orders, and many are still fleeing their homes. More than 20 people have been arrested for looting, trespassing, and curfew violations. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna says there are 11 dead so far.
8 in the Eaton fire, and 3 in the Palisades County area. We also have reports for 13 missing individuals.
Cal Fire Battalion Chief Brent Pasqua says there has been some progress.
Overnight, the fire was the most active in the Topanga Canyon area of the fire, the northeast section of this fire. We had a surge of engines and crews that we sent over that way, and they were able to work all night with aircraft, our helicopters that were dropping water all night, thanks to the relatively calm wind.
But the winds are on the rise, and people like Max Wiseman in Brentwood are keeping a close eye on the flames.
My father and I have been anticipating this for the past couple of days, and we've had the car packed, so the only thing we have to take is the dog, and we're, you know, either headed, you know, out to the desert or up north to try to get away from the city.
In the south, the problem is winter weather causing power outages and a travel nightmare. WANF-TV meteorologist Cutter Martin with the latest.
Ice hanging from trees, from power lines, and from stop lights and stop signs.
Content creators and businesses are keeping watch as the popular social media platform TikTok could go dark in just days. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments on a law yesterday that would shut it down unless its Chinese parent company agrees to sell the app. Some justices pointed out security concerns with the platform used by 170 million Americans. CBS's Jan Crawford with the latest.
One possible approach with that next Sunday deadline looming, the court could enter a brief pause, and that would give TikTok a little more time to find a U.S. buyer.
The nation is mourning the death of a rock and roll legend who is part of the soundtrack of millions of lives. Sam Moore died yesterday at the age of 89. His publicist said he died in Florida from complications from surgery. Moore, part of the duo Sam and Dave, was inducted along with his partner into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1992. The pair split up in 1990 and neither had another major hit. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin ended 2024 on a high note when it comes to clean energy, exemplified by a first-of-its-kind energy dome and approval for the largest solar project in state history. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Together, the Columbia Energy Storage Project and the Vista Sands Solar Project are expected to generate enough energy to power more than 200,000 Wisconsin homes. In a state that imports about 70% of the energy it uses, Oliver Schmitz, Associate Dean of Engineering at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says projects like these are key to reducing that number.
In terms of the priorities, it's not only to realize clean energy as an energy source for the entire population, but also to leverage the opportunities that come with the clean energy technologies.
Opportunities like using Wisconsin's strong manufacturing base to work toward clean energy projects, he adds. Other areas include new careers and workforce, a reduction in pollutants that contribute to climate change, and lower energy costs across the state. Though Wisconsin ranks around the middle of the pack nationwide for clean energy development, he believes the most important component in recent advancements is community involvement.
Many of this technology discovery is community-driven. So people who consume energy, the communities out in the state, are thinking about what is the fit for our community.
He says now the state would do well to focus on its baseload capacity or replacing coal plants with equivalent units of continuous energy. The state announced this month a second delay of Columbia County's coal plant retirement. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad winter day today, just mostly cloudy, maybe a few flurries with highs in the mid-20s. Light snow becomes likely tonight, a low of 23, accumulations around an inch. Light snow tapers off in the morning, an additional inch possible, cloudy skies and a high of 27. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back on the weekend news happenings and also review the Packers game and what lies ahead, if anything. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for The Todd Albaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are powered by Everlight Solar. Here's today's episode. Welcome to 2025, guys. Isn't that nice? Wow. New year, new you. Or new year, same you, but you just kind of say new year, new you, because it sounds good and it'll give you motivation to get your new year's things going through at least the first 2 weeks, you know, before they all drop off and you're like, yeah, I'll just think about a resolution next year. Anyways. This week we've got two very creative, very funny, very awesome people here. We have Joel Hodgson. It's his second appearance on the Cripescast. He is the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And we also have Wayne White. He is the painter, puppeteer, set designer. He's famous for his work on Pee-wee's Playhouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tonight music video, The Weird Al Show, Shining Time Station. He's done a lot of great work. He's a three-time Emmy Award winner. And he is the subject of the documentary Beauty is Embarrassing. Both these guys together are doing a show at Joey's Song. You might remember from years past, we've done episodes like this with all the musicians and artists attending Joey's Song. Joey's Song, for those of you who don't know, it's a festival in Madison that we do once a year. It raises money for kids with juvenile epilepsy. And it is just a fun day of music. And this year they're adding another day of comedy, which Wayne and Joel are pushing. So this year, just real quick, the bands are Portugal the Man, Silverson Pickups, Eve Six, Letters to Cleo, so many more bands playing there. I believe my buddy Butch Vig is going to be there as well. And then the comedy night, it is performances by Dana Gold, Joel Hodgson, Wayne White, a whole lot more. You can get tickets at joeysong.org. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to my conversation with Joel Hodgson and Wayne White. I appreciate you guys coming on. And for people who don't know, Joel, Mystery Science Theater, we had you on the podcast before. People should go check that out. Wayne White, incredible artist. And Wayne, you're known for both doing like the high end art, the stuff you see in galleries and museums and rich people's houses. And then also you're a cartoonist and you worked on Pee-wee's Playhouse,
yes.
Puppetry, everything. So thank you guys for coming on. And, obviously the big reason that we're chit chatting is we got Joey's Song, coming up again next week. And Joey's Song, Cripescast listeners know that this is, an incredible, event of music, the past few years where it's all raising money for, a very incredible, cause, and I'll let people, give that a Google, and we've done a bunch of podcasts on that. But this week, or this year, there's a whole other day added and that's a comedy day. And Joel, you're sort of spearheading that. So I kind of want to ping pong between the two of you, but I'll let you sort of give us the inspiration behind all that.
Yeah, well, we met, you and I met last, was it last year or the year before? I think it was last year, right?
I think that's when we got a real good official chit chat in.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I was always super, very enthused about you and found out about you through my friends in Wisconsin. And, you know, I just like, and of course, then somehow you crept onto my, you know, onto my YouTube feed. And I don't know how that happens, but I got a lot of Charlie Behrens through the YouTube feed, which I really loved. And yeah, it was really cool. I've been doing, this will be my third year at Joey's Song. And Mike Gamal, the promoter and the creator of the event, decided to blow it up and make it into an actual festival he's calling Freezing Man Festival. And we're doing Friday night, January 10th. It's Hudson and White's Cheese Capades. And it's the first time us being in Madison and doing that. And we've got our own band called Packer Country, which are the finest musicians from, we've scoured Appleton, Wisconsin and found the best musicians there. And they're our band. And the truth be told, they're Butch Vig's band. They're the know-it-all boyfriends from Joey's Song. So we rely on the Butch Vig, who, as you know, is the guy, the producer behind Nevermind from Nirvana, one of the biggest records of the last century, right? And so we're using his band and doing a bunch of multimedia stuff. And I invited Wayne, Wayne and I have been talking about trying to do something together since COVID, and it kind of evolved into the Cheese Capades. So that's what's happening. But also the featured act, the guy we really want to hype is Dana Gould's coming, and he's doing Dr. Z, which is just an amazing bit that we're super enthused to have him there.
Well, that's awesome. And so, like, what was the the night, just to clarify, the way it goes is this just sort of an evening of like comedy and kind of musical comedy, or what can people expect?
It's comedy, music, and then of course Dana does Dr. Z, which is, you know, he gets into Dr. Z drag, which is looks like Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes, and he does amazing stand-up and music. And it's comedy and music. And of course, we're auctioning off Charlie's beer, some of his beer can collection, and some of his brandy. So we're going to be doing that too. So we got a unique situation where we're doing you're going to be on the road that night. So we're going to check in with you via phone and run that auction while you're on the road. So we really appreciate that too, man.
No, it's going to be very fun. And I was super bummed when I figured out that, because usually it's the first Saturday in January. And so that's what I blocked off. And then I didn't realize that it was the second weekend January, because it's a weird year, kind of.
Yeah.
The first weekend comes early. I'm excited for that. And I do have actually some really good beer cans that are going to be in this collection. And they've been sitting in a place of honor, really, in my basement for a long time, right by my tool shop. And they've been in a pyramid, and now the pyramid is going to get a little bit smaller. And I think it's for a great cause. And by the way, I sort of brushed past what the charitable aspect of this, of Joey's Song. So it's childhood epilepsy. It's fighting childhood epilepsy. And last year, didn't they get to $1 million or something like that?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's an amazing event, and it culminates in this big show at the Sylvie in Madison that just has all these. It's kind of like this cornucopia of pop acts, varying. It's pieces of the Bangles, it's pieces of Cheap Trick, people from the Goo Goo Dolls, Fountains of Wayne, Portugal the Man, the Silver Sun Pickups. They all come and do this. They're doing a battle of the bands, and there's just, they all switch places and stuff. And when we do our thing on Friday, some of those people will be pulling them out of the audience and having them come up and do our train wreck at the end of our show. But yeah, so it's an amazing event, and it's not like, I can't compare it to really anything that I've seen, but it keeps getting bigger and bigger, and people really like it. So I guess that's my best shot at describing it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's all we needed. And Wayne, what got you interested in doing this?
Well, I met Joel at a Joy Song in 2012 in Los Angeles. And that's where we first met. And we hit it off.
No, not Joey's Song. My brother Jim's event.
Oh, yeah.
It was 20 Wonder. Yeah.
20 Wonder. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I met Joel at that benefit in 2012 in Los Angeles. And we hit it off. We have so much in common.
I'm a huge fan of Wayne's, you know. I mean, he, you know, there'd be no MST without Pee Wee's Playhouse, right? Let's just get it out there.
Well, I was a huge fan of Joel's too, MST3K, and a TV show he did called TV Wheel, which is kind of a bit of an insider knowledge. But I love that show, TV Wheel. I don't know if you can find it anywhere now, Joel. But
I bet it's online somewhere.
Yeah, it might be on YouTube, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, that was way back in 2012, and we've been in touch ever since. And we're like two kids in a treehouse. You know, we're talking about all this cool stuff we're going to do, man. We're going to do it. We're going to go do this and that. And we've been like that for like 10 years. Now, finally, we've come out of the treehouse, and we've made our little stage, and we're going to put on our show. And it's something I've been dying to do. And we're both, I'm a bit of a ham and a performer myself. I was a puppeteer for years on television with Pee Wee's Playhouse and other TV shows. And I've done a stage show myself, a one-man show that I used to tour around when my movie first came out. There's a documentary about me called Beauty is Embarrassing. It came out in 2012 that a few people might know about. It's still on Amazon and Netflix. Anyway, I promoted that movie with a talk where I played banjo and cracked wise and stuff. So I love to get on the stage and be funny. And as you know, Charlie, there's nothing better in the world than getting a laugh. I mean, come on. It's like heroin.
Yeah. It really is. It's the heroin that won't kill you right there. And it's but it's cool that, I mean, Joel, hearing that Wayne inspired you in MST3K, I mean, it was kind of what Pee-wee's Playhouse did. For those who don't really know kind of where that came in the culture and the time, can you kind of explain that? Because before that, like the puppets, when you thought of puppets, you thought of Jim Henson, and sort of Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of turned that on its head a little bit. And some people thought it was like great kids programming. Other people thought it was like kind of a creepy, bad acid trip, but all in a good way. You know what I mean?
So I wanted to say something about that. I think Pee-wee's Playhouse was the Muppet killer. Like after Pee-wee's Playhouse, did the Muppets, if you look at their timeline, they became completely irrelevant for a really long time.
Yeah, we missed it.
It's so deconstructed puppetry that they just couldn't get their bearings for the longest time. I don't know if they ever recovered.
I haven't seen Elmo ever since. And yeah, I don't even know.
Where is he?
MIA.
It is funny. That was on my mind when I was designing the puppets and stuff. It's like, I don't want these to be like the Muppets at all. These are going to be the anti-Muppets. I'm going to bring back a new kind of breed, a new kind of genre of puppetry. And that definitely was on my mind. But
well, one thing I want to do, Charlie, really quickly is not only did Wayne design and build those puppets, he voiced them too. Like he was Dirty Dog. He was Randy, the badass marionette guy. Can you do Randy for us, man? Just do the voice.
Yeah. Hey, Pee-wee, smoking's cool. Yeah.
He does that all the time for me.
Sometimes when you can't sleep, he just calls you up.
Randy, tell me this.
Charlie, you stupid cheesehead.
Joe, do you ever call Wayne when you can't sleep and just get a bedtime story?
Yeah, sing to me as Randy.
Fall to sleep, little Joe, you stupid cheesehead. I'm going to steal stuff while you're sleeping.
That actually would be a great service these days. You know, before AI does that on its own, you got to like offer that service.
Wake up!
So what goes into sort of creating like at that time, again, did you guys know that sort of Pee Wee's Playhouse would be the sort of cultural thing it became?
Well, sort of did, because Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, was at the height of his powers. He had just done Pee Wee's Big Adventure movie with Tim Burton, and he was hot as a pistol. And then CBS picked him up for the series. And we knew that something big was going to happen because he was just so popular. He was everywhere in the culture. And we weren't sure, but we had an inkling that it was going to take off, and it really did. And it changed my life significantly. I mean, it just completely, that's the reason I'm here today talking to you, you know. It was quite a zeitgeisty thing to ride through the 80s and be a young artist in New York and be able to get our crazy art form on the screen. The design and the art you see on Pee Wee's Playhouse was from the heart. We weren't trying to pander or try to please somebody. We were doing what we wanted to do. We were doing it for ourselves, you know, and it looked like our art. It looked like our cartoons. The power of the Playhouse was that he didn't hire the regular old TV hacks to do it. We were all new to TV. We were all painters and cartoonists and performance artists. And we brought this fresh kind of downtown New York art feel to it. It was like an art project that managed to get on CBS television, you know, which was a super rare thing. And that was the essence and the power of it, that it was coming from the heart, from real artists, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and kind of on that note, you've seen sort of the many different phases of art come and go through the years as it pertains to, like, you know, the pure art world, and also like how the pure art world, how it does or doesn't kind of get into mainstream. Have you noticed any patterns, or do you have any thoughts on the trajectory of where we're going as it pertains to how people consume art and how people create art?
Well, first of all, I have a mortal fear of AI. AI is really going to mess with things. And I don't want to be negative about that right off the bat. But
Wayne, the last time we talked, you weren't afraid of it at all, man.
I am AI. This is not really me right now. I am an AI image.
That was 6 months ago. You said, that's it, man. Don't worry about it. And now you're worried about it. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. I stay awake at night worrying about it. But as far as the intersection of fine art and commercial world, I don't think there's ever been another thing quite like Pee Wee. I mean, it was the perfect storm. Paul Rubens was an artist himself. He was a former art student. He was hip to art. He had all this power at his disposal, huge amount of celebrity power. So he used that power to bring fine art into television. And I don't think anybody's quite done it the same since, you know, and that's why it's still unique and why it still stands out, that there was somebody in power, Paul, that could dictate these kind of experimental avant-garde ideas into the mainstream. And when you get them into the mainstream, they're not that scary. In fact, they're fresh. People like them. People like something new under the sun, you know? So I think there's still hope for it, but I don't know. It's a completely different world now. I mean, there's so many things at your disposal now online, and things are still bleeding together in strange and crazy ways. You know, I'm all about just not worrying about genres, not worrying about labels, not worrying about anything. Just try to stick things together, you know, try to make a painting into a TV show, try to make a TV show into a painting, you know, jump back and forth between genres and be fearless about it. You know, there's nobody telling you what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way,
I wanted to interrupt too, man. I'm sorry, but I wanted to say that my kids are, you know, in college now. And it was like, we made it a point to sit them down and show Pee-wee's Playhouse. We watched the whole, we got that box set and watched the whole thing from beginning to end, just because it seems so in its own way, as weird as it sounds, it's actually really good for kids to see it, because it's just so wildly creative and genuinely funny and great. You know, I just wanted to say that.
No, I totally agree on that. I mean, like I said, I grew up on it and I loved it. You know, you talk to some people and it's almost like depending on the age when they see it. Like, I think kids see it as like this fun thing. And then you hit this certain age where you're like, oh my gosh, that's wild. You know, kids, it's almost like when you're a kid and you're watching Zubily Zoo. Do you guys ever remember that show? And then I watched that, and then Barney killed Zubily Zoo. So I've had a thing against Barney ever since. But yeah. I go back, watch Zubily Zoo, and I showed it to somebody, and they're like, the hell, you watched that as a kid? But there's something about a kid's imagination that gravitates towards something like Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I don't know. I've just always been a fan. But I do want to pick up on one thing that you said, Wayne, about AI, because I'm kind of with you on a lot of that sort of stuff. But how do you think AI is going to affect the art world? And how have you seen it already affect the art world?
Well, it's not good. I'm a pessimist about AI. I don't see anything good about it at all. I think it's taken away the craft of being an artist. I think it's taken away, it's imposing on the craft of learning how to draw and paint and training your mind through that process to think about the world. With AI, it's just all shortcuts. You don't have to learn to draw or paint. You just push some buttons, you know, and everybody goes, well, it's really about the idea. No, it's about the actual craft and body, your body being involved with it, your hand and eye. That's the profound sacred part of art, the connection between the hand and the eye, the gestures. It's like sports, you know. You want to see a AI sports team? No. You know, AI artists are like athletes. It's all about the body and the body's involvement in the object you're creating and the body's communication with other bodies. AI, there's no body. It's just this creepy overlord mind, you know, that has nothing to do with human body or biology or connections. You know, it's like when I see an AI image, it reminds me of a corpse, an embalmed corpse. I call it the corpse of art. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's what you said 6 months ago. And I thought that meant that you had this solved. But no. You're alarmed about it. You're flying the flag against it.
I am flying the flag.
Here's my piece on AI. I think that it's kind of taken the thing. Your reward is to get to make stuff as a successful person.
Yeah.
And a person in their leisure. It's the thing we're kind of designed to do as human beings is to make. So why do we need a service?
I know.
Write songs for us or write movies or poems or art. It's like, we don't need it. It's kind of like, there is something at play there that kind of feels like, oh, we're just going to shuttle this away from human beings.
Yeah.
And to me, it's one of the best things about us that makes us, you know, and so to start to remove that a little bit is going to change us. And, you know, that's how I look at it. I don't know.
It's profoundly anti-human as far as I'm concerned. But what am I going to do? I can't do anything about it. It's coming. It's coming fast. It's going to roll over the world. It's going to change the world. And, hopefully I'll get to spend the rest of my life doing stuff the old-fashioned way, and people will still respect it and want it, but it's going to profoundly change the world of creativity.
From here on out, you're going to be running from an AI robot that's hunting you.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
And it's like, you know, it's like I said, it's all back to bodies communicating with other bodies. We're human beings, you know, being on stage as a comedian, it's about your body. You're there in person and you're speaking these and people are watching your body language and they're hearing the sounds coming out of your human mouth. You know, that's all you take it all for granted. But when you take all that away and it's boiled down to some computers coming up with ideas, it's chilling. You know, it's like we're just animals communicating with each other. And now we're going to be ruled by a machine, by this, you know. Yeah. Anyway, this is getting too pessimistic.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. More than 150,000 people are under evacuation orders, and people are still fleeing the deadly wildfires ravaging Los Angeles and leaving a landscape that looks like a scene from a disaster movie. Some watch their homes burn on Ring doorbells or on television news. This man says,
"The winds picked up, the fires pick up. So right now there's no wind. This is wonderful. Pray for no more wind."
But the winds are forecast to rise again, and there are new flare-ups still happening as people head for the desert or parts north of the city to escape the flames and dangerous air quality from smoke. CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Todd Hopkins says the flames in some places are tough.
It was an approximate 1,000 acres in growth last night in the Mandeville Canyon area.
Finally, in Richmond, Virginia, a boil water is finally over after 5 days. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks beat the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks held off the Magic 109-106 in Orlando. Giannis Antetokounmpo came through again, scoring 41 points in what seemed to be an uphill battle. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers:
"A lot of breaks didn't go our way. Like, I thought they stole the jump ball. I thought Giannis got fouled on a drive, and we just kept playing. You know, we just kept playing through it."
The Bucks face the Knicks 2 p.m. tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. College basketball: the Badgers with a blowout win over Minnesota, 80-59. That's the eighth time in a row Wisconsin has beat the Gophers. NFL: the Packers and the Eagles tomorrow in Philly. Matt LaFleur on the joy of being the visiting team at the Eagles Lincoln Financial Field:
"I can't tell you how many times I've gone in there and you're riding in on the bus, and next thing you know, your bus is splattered with eggs. It's a unique experience, but it makes it a lot more fun as well."
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad winter day today, just mostly cloudy, maybe a few flurries with highs in the mid-20s. Light snow becomes likely tonight, a low of 23, accumulations around an inch. Light snow tapers off in the morning, an additional inch possible, cloudy skies and a high of 27. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, "Hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later." So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, "Merry Christmas. Love, Pete." And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, "You are the laziest, cheapest." It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical.
Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Charlie Behrens, and this is my conversation with Joel Hodgson and Wayne White on Civic Media.
And now we're going to be ruled by a machine, by this, you know. Anyway, this is getting too pessimistic.
No, I mean, look, that's a tough thing to... I'm with you on this. It is a tough thing to talk about it because you feel like you're being pessimistic, but nobody is really having this conversation about it. You even listen to like the tech guys that are involved in it, like the Elon Musk of the world. And he'll say in podcasts, I think that there's only a 20% chance that these robots end humanity. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said that many times. It's like, who elected you to decide the rest of our fate? And that's just on the X risk of these things taking over, which depending on which expert you talk to, it's between 20% and 99.9% certain that when you create a new species that is smarter than everybody, it will take them over.
Yeah.
But I think what you're bringing up also, Wayne, is just something I've thought about is like the taking away the creative process from people or the motivation to be creative.
Yeah.
If that's no longer like creativity has saved quite a few human minds from self-sabotage, from drugs, from a lot of things.
I'm a living example of that. You know, it saved my life. You know, it gave me a sense of purpose, and I grew up in the South in the 60s and the 70s, and that was a really oppressive place for a creative artist, you know, and it saved my life. It led me to where I wanted to go, you know, but I had to like pay my dues. I had to learn the chops. I had to literally go out there just like an athlete and practice every day and get my body in shape and get my hand and eye working together. It's all back to the hand and the eye, it's all back to the body, really. You know, AI is anti-human body, you know, and it's also anti-play. The essence and the best part of art is play. And that's what comedy's about. It's all about playing with each other and playing. People love to play, and they love to see somebody that can play good, and they want to play with you. When you do a comedy, when you're in a club and you're doing your act on the stage, you're playing, and you're inviting people to play with you, and it's a joyous thing. AI can't do that, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. I don't necessarily know what to do about it. You know what I mean?
Well, but it also spurs my natural contrarian spirit. I mean, that's been my MO since I was a kid. I'm a contrarian, you know. Mm-hmm. I love, and it kind of, I thrive in a sense of defiance, you know. I thrive when somebody says, no, what are you doing? You can't do that. Oh, yeah, well, I'll show you, you know.
Right.
I sort of run on spite, you know.
Yeah. It's good to know what fuels you. You know, it's good to know, because if you get like non-motivated, you got to go find more of that fuel somewhere. Luckily for you, there's a lot of spite fuel in the world right now. So you should be OK for a good amount of time.
I think all artists and creative people, comics, dancers, painters, writers are contrarians, you know, because the world really doesn't. The sensible workaday world doesn't want you to be an artist, especially this our American culture. We don't support artists. We think they're frivolous. We have that horrible, stupid thing calling them artiste. I hate it when people say that word. It's like we think they're a frivolous throw. They're not needed. We don't need you in American culture because we got our trucks and our hard work, and we got to do our work. And there's this guy over here with his head in the clouds. You know, we don't support that. But actually, it's a very important thing, as we all know. And yeah, so you have to learn. You have to. I think we all three of us have been inspired by a sense of defiance and contrariness. I mean, that's what humor is being contrary. No, it's this way. Oh, really? No. And it's, you surprise people with your contrary attitude, you know?
Yeah, it's flipping the perspective. And you're right, that's never been something, that's always been something that's sort of forced its way into American culture as opposed to being invited in. Because, you know, American culture is a lot about, you look at what's driving AI is the drive for power and the drive for money. And I think some people have this drive that it'll make the world a utopia. But I think largely that one might be misguided, as I don't think a utopia is what even we want. But no. But the money and the power, that drives, you look around, throw a stone, that drives it all.
It's money. It's always money. There's no mystery about that. It always comes down to money and the will to power, you know. So, man, we're having fun.
I know. Yeah, hey, I do this all the time.
Jeez,
I do this
all the time. January 10th, this is High Noon Saloon.
Yes, we're going to do an anti-AI show, January 10th, High Noon Saloon,
it's a rally.
Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to show you what real human beings are capable of.
It's a rally.
Folks, excuse the interruption, but I want to let you know that the Cripescast is presented and powered by Everlight Solar. Make 2025 the year you finally schedule yourself an Everlight Solar consultation. The Cripescast studio has been powered by Everlight Solar for a few years now, and I got to tell you, it's been constant and cost-effective power. If you're a regular Cripescast listener, you know that I really like the environment. I also am Midwest cheap, so I like saving money where I can, and that's what these solar panels offer. If you want solar panels on your roof, check out everlightsolar.com for a free consultation. See how solar panels can work for you. And also, folks, we got the brandy glasses in. You've seen them in a lot of the videos where you can pour to a muskie, a walleye, or a perch. They are back in stock. They are on ManitowocMint.com. Just click on the merch section. And we've also got a bunch of other Midwest merch there. Got some Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy merch there, some playing cards, cribbage boards, hoodies, t-shirts, the whole deal. Check us out, ManitowocMinute.com. And with that, let's get back to my conversation with Joel Hodgson and Wayne White. Back to the show. We've all had our nice, we got off on our nice exit ramp. We stopped at a Quick Trip. We discussed AI at around the coffee at the Quick Trip, back on the highway. Yeah. Of this year's Joey's Song and festivities. So how can people go about finding tickets and everything?
Yeah, please go to joeysong.org, and that'll direct you to Ticketmaster. We still got good seats still available. We'd love you to come down. High Noon Saloon in Madison. The show starts at 7 p.m. And like I said, we got Packer Country there, our amazing Wisconsin show band. Dana Gould's coming as Dr. Z, which is really going to be fun. And then Wayne and I are doing some surveys of stuff that we find interesting. I don't want to give anything away, but it's a multimedia show with music and drinking.
Yeah,
so, that's part of it too. We encourage,
Joel and I are doing several musical numbers together. I play banjo, Joel plays guitar.
We sing kinda, and it's gonna be. We've been talking about this for years, and we want to thank Mike Gamal for giving us a chance to take a run at it. It's really gonna be cool. So
I'm super excited to be working with Joel too.
I mean, we've been having fun. It's been great. So, and getting to collaborate with Wayne, he's always been a hero of mine. And
same here.
His one-man show really inspired my one-man show. I took ideas from him, and I always take stuff from Wayne. It's good stuff. Don't worry about AI taking your worry about me taking your
Joe, by the way, before we kind of close out, for people who didn't hear the last podcast that you were on that I recommend everybody go and listen to, but how was MST3K inspired by inspired by Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Oh my goodness. I think the biggest thing to me was they really dropped into, in my mind, it was a love letter to TV from the past, and everything that I loved about it was in camera. And even the stuff that had special effects was in camera, because you remember you go in the refrigerator and it was that Prudence Fenton that was doing the stop motion stuff?
Yeah, back Prudence then? Fenton.
Yeah, Prudence Fenton was a friend of mine too. And I met her back in the day in L.A. And she was the first person from Pee-wee's Playhouse that I met. But I just thought all of it was this lovely, brilliant confection of really hip comedy, but also adorable characters. It's an amazing thing. So I think when I started really seriously, we did Mystery Science Theater locally, I felt obliged and I felt very comfortable going for that in-camera world where there's really no digital effects. And I just liked that very much. I felt comfortable doing that because I could fabricate stuff. And that's kind of how it all started, was really, really me making everything that we did for the pilot. And then over time, when we got to do it for real, everybody got involved and everybody got making stuff. And I relied on, TV is really a group venture, and you can't really do it alone. You got to do it with a lot of other people. And at Best Brains, which was the production company, I just happened to find these great people in Minneapolis and we did it all there. But just the idea that if you kept the rules really simple for production, which I think you do, Charlie, too, the way you make your things, is it's very anchored to the world and what's available, and you just make it fly, man. I've seen you become a lady just by putting a hat on. Yeah. You play a lady part with just a hat. So I'm gonna go, oh yeah, he didn't Kids in the Hall at where it's like perfect makeup and hair and clothes. It's like Charlie put on a hat and he's a lady now.
It's the do-it-yourself human touch. People crave that. People want that and need that. And also people want and need something that's done out of a sense of real love, you know?
Yeah.
And you can sense that.
That's right. Affection. You know what? We left this out of the equation with AI, but affection and making stuff that's adorable and fun is really part of it, too. It's not just being funny, but there's affection too in there. And I think that's really, really part of the deal. You know, when you're making something for people that, it's all mixed, it's all blended in there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a nice thing to come out of sort of the digital deal, is just more people have an opportunity to showcase their art and what is, so it's not all bad. I mean, that's been obviously huge for me and a lot of other folks. But that idea that you can just boil it down, and they don't care if your microphone's sitting on your shirt.
Right.
They don't care. It's a little bit dirty, but you are getting across the heart of it. Which I think people enjoy. And I hope, annoyed as I am with many aspects of AI, I do hope that people keep looking for the people in each other, and instead of just making their back sore by going like this all day, or as soon as those brain implants come in, just going like this all day. What do you guys have? What advice, I guess, do you have for young artists, musicians, comedians, whatever it may be, producers coming up today, just young artists? What advice do you have for them in this ever-changing art world?
I'd say don't think too much. Just get in it and start. And just see what happens when you're in front of an audience. Because when I started out as a stand-up, that was really it. It was really, I'd work the material, but you were relying on the audience to kind of shape it with you and find out if you're getting somewhere. And I just think that's kind of the piece that you'll need eventually, is getting it in front of people. And the sooner you can do that, the better. That's my piece. What about you, Wayne?
I say create your own opportunities. Create your own world. Don't wait to plug yourself into an institution or a conventional system. Create your own system. Go out on the street if you have to. Like for me, I did my own homemade puppet shows, and that led to Pee Wee's Playhouse. You know, I didn't wait around. I didn't go with my hat in my hand around begging people to give me work. I started to work and made my own world, and the world came to me because I was generating this positive sense of myself, and that attracted. And so you can attract stuff by being yourself. Create your own world first. Don't wait for the funding or some big shot to hire you or to be accepted into a system. Be your own system and things will come to you.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of this. I was at the, I don't know if it was a zoo or if it was a museum. I think it was a museum in some city, and there was a big old butterfly display where you walk in and the butterflies fly on you and stuff. And it had this sign and it said, don't go chasing butterflies. Just make a great garden and they'll come to you. You know?
Right.
And,
the laws of attraction.
Yes. You
know,
yes.
People are attracted to somebody who's being them, who's doing their thing. You know, don't be a victim and don't be a supplicant. You know, can I come in here? Please, please. No, here I am. Look at this. Look at me. You know, that attracts, you know, be bold and forget the insecurity. Be bold. You know, you only have, like, if you're lucky, 90 years on this planet. You know, that's nothing. You know, what does it matter? You know, just go for it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And when you were doing those puppet shows at your home, like what you made them and you invited people and that was the deal.
I would do them at my house. I would do them at drunken keg parties. I would do them on the street. I would do whenever anybody invited me to do it. And I just did it out of pure love and a pure sense of play. And that attracted the big shots at CBS. You know, I didn't go to them. They came to me because they heard about what I was doing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, create your own thing, man. It doesn't matter how down and dirty or do it yourself it is. People love that.
I mean, there's nothing cooler, Wayne, than a punk rock puppet show.
Yeah. Joel and I came up during punk rock, and that was a huge influence on us both. That was all about do it yourself. Create your own band, create your own sound. You don't have to have all this fancy equipment and stuff. Just go for it. You know, Joel and I are both a pure product of punk rock.
Well, let me paint a picture for you, Charlie, because you were really young at this time. But in about 1978 was the world just changed, because prior to that, it was arena rock. You had Journey, you had Kiss, you
Kansas.
Had Kansas and Foreigner, and they all kind of had these big arena rock shows, and they were all millionaires, right? The idea was, you're a rock star millionaire and we're going to go to these big arenas and do this. And it was the year Emerson, Lake and Palmer was traveling with a 200-piece orchestra and acoustically tuning the Brown County Arena to do a concert, and that's when it all imploded and the punk rock started. And it's just like, hey, you got some friends and a guitar and a bass, go to a club and play. And it all started over in 1978, and I just finished high school, and Wayne is a couple years older, but we were in that, and it was kind of like saying, hey, you know, this is, you just saw this giant thing just kind of crumble under its weight, and we're starting over, so you can get in on it now. So that was kind of where we were at. It was funny.
Yeah, we were crawling from the wreckage, man, and telling everybody, hey man, let's do it ourselves. You know, we don't need millions of dollars of equipment. We don't need all this stuff. We got a screwed up little amplifier and a guitar and a drum set. Let's bang it out, man. And people responded to that, and it changed the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Pee Wee's Playhouse was definitely punk rock. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and the sentiment, you know, couldn't be any more, important today to kind of do that same thing when you have sort of this big daunting thing? You have a million different gatekeepers, but just doing it yourself, because I think when you do it yourself, from my experience, you just find the love of doing the thing.
Yeah.
And
that whether, attracts.
Yes. Yes.
And your love attracts people. Give the world your love. You know, it may crush your soul, but at least you try. But it will attract people if it's sincere and you have something to say. You know, it's all about the heart. You know, it's all from the heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the self-fulfillment that you get by just doing it, whether or not anybody else sees it, that's where it kind of starts. And that'll continue guiding you through the years as you know, the waves of the career go up and down. At least I've found that. So, but guys, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Hey,
one more thing, Charlie.
Yes.
Look at this. I've got my own beer.
Oh, that, dude, that's awesome. Who brews that?
That's from my hometown of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yeah, down in Chattanooga. It's kind of a tri-state area.
I'm the only guy without an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, I got a brandy. Are you drinking that beer right now?
No, it's empty.
Okay. Joel, you got to get something.
To, man.
You're going to be in Madison. There's no better place to find a brewery. Yeah.
There is some kind of heady session beer.
Yeah.
You know, it crowds your palate and your mind with too many flavors.
Yes.
Hodgson Ale. I don't know.
Wait, I had a great name for a beer. Hodgepodge Lodge.
Hodgepodge Lager.
Hodgepodge Lager.
Lodger. Or hops.
Hopson's Hoppy.
Yeah, something. So we'll spitball it. We got time.
We'll brainstorm that later.
Before I go, we ask everybody, what makes you say cripes? And if you're unfamiliar with the term cripes, it's like, cripes. Jeez Louise, it's kind of like a pet peeve, you know? What makes you say cripes?
I'm going to have to say AI. AI makes me say cripes.
Yeah. We're on the same page there, Wayne.
I think, it's been a while, but I cut my hand the other day, and when that happens, I just hate it. I go, cripes, when that happens.
How'd you cut your... I would say cripes if I cut my hand, too. What do you mean?
It's funny, man. So... we've been prepping for this show, and there's, my assistant Dave's driving from where I'm at in outside of Philly. He's driving with all our stuff we've got. You know, we've got a whole bunch of gear and stuff we're bringing and funny stuff. And so he's getting ready to move all that. And I had to move it all downstairs, and I was moving stuff around, and I had a bunch of tools out in the front room, and I'm like, reach my hand, and then there was like this really sharp like branch cutter was in my toolbox, and I just pushed it into my hand, and I'm going, cripes.
You know, Joel, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a life lesson right there. Never just stick your hand blindly into a toolbox,
a tackle box,
or a junk drawer. Okay. Way too many thumbtacks in the junk drawer.
Yeah.
But we got to relearn those life lessons over and over again, I suppose.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And again, January 10th at the High Noon Saloon, Hodgson & White's Cheese Capades featuring Dana Gould as Dr. Z. Just want to hype that.
And where can people get tickets?
At joeysong.org, please.
Awesome. Well, thank you, fellas. Wayne, so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys. Thanks
a lot, Charlie.
We'll see ya. Appreciate ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys for listening. I hope you can make it to Joey's song. Everyone, keep her moving and watch for deer.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle, and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk to Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, on defending a progressive seat against Scott Walker's attorney general.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us. Or you're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. People who have been watching flames closing in are fleeing those deadly L.A. wildfires with relatives and pets, trying to get away in safety and avoid dangerous smoke. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna with the latest.
Evacuation orders are approximately at 153,000 residents. That are under the evacuation orders, and approximately 57,000 structures are still at risk.
But fires aren't the only problem for those trying to protect their property and their neighbors. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Another threat emerged. Looters. He says he and a neighbor have chased off two groups attempting to break into the homes still standing.
What kind of person, what kind of human being would take advantage of somebody at that point? It's just like, I don't even want to say what I would do, but it's shocking.
Did you worry about your safety?